Hey, welcome everybody to another Lunch with Jim and Aaron.
Yeah.
Took last week off because we just couldn't fit it in the schedule and didn't have the equipment necessary to do a satisfactory one.
No.
You know what else?
We had no video equipment.
You know what else?
What?
No more Sky Mall. Couldn't even do the Sky Mall challenge we wanted to.
What do you mean?
They no longer have Sky Mall. They have a shitty 8-page version embedded into the magazine of like United. But it's not the Sky Mall of United. Old. Yeah, that's true.
Delta might still have the full-ass Sky Mall.
I saw some talk of Sky Mall no longer doing the full catalogs. Because that's got to be... Publishing's expensive, man.
Yeah, and it's pointless.
And yeah, like, I've actually ordered one thing out of Sky Mall.
I never have.
Because I needed a gift on a short notice for someone as hard to shop for. So you get something ridiculous. You know they're not going to have whatever it is in the crazy Sky Mall catalog.
Yeah, an inflatable wine cooler.
Yeah.
They're not going to have that.
Yeah, yeah. And it was marginally useful and thoughtful. And then I got it. And it was like $20-$30. And they got it 2 weeks later. And there you go. I will say this, if you order anything from Sky Mall, you will get a lifetime subscription to a bunch of kooky fucking mail order catalogs.
Awesome.
Called like Wayfarers and Widgets and a bunch of other stuff.
How does that stuff make money? Is it just old people? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Old people like wanting to relive the old glory days of the catalog and buying stuff out of those.
If I was a richer man, I think I would have succumbed more often, because at least once or twice in every Sky Mall catalog, I'm like, ooh, like maybe it's a king size bed frame with integrated storage.
Or maybe it's a globe wine or a globe liquor
there
bar.
There you go. Or maybe it's a wall sized map of the world that you can like track your non-existent travels on. I mean, there's some interesting things. Like, and they also sell interesting sports memorabilia for fairly decent prices. Like you could buy a chair from the old Yankee Stadium for a long time and like bricks out of the Indianapolis 500 and
what?
A lot of things that I think would have sentimental value. That kind of stuff. So I don't know. We didn't have a lunch with Jim and Aaron last week because we were doing bypacks. Jim,
yeah,
we have the Q&A app turned on, so you can Q&A us. We're actually going to do the Q&A.
We're
going to
A you guys.
We're going to A
you. You can only cue us.
A you right in the queue. We're doing the Q&A podcast today too. We got a lot of great questions. That'll be fun.
Yep.
After we're done with this. Let's talk about BIPACS. What is BIPACS, Jim?
BIPACS is the coming together of the West Coast and the Midwest Coast and everything Bald Move.
It's interesting because it was born at a PAX, which is the Penny Arcade Expo. And after one particular one, we realized that we spent like maybe 4 hours at PAX. The rest of the time we just spent in our hotel room or in a hotel lobby or in one of our private residences playing board games with these guys that we never get to see on the West Coast.
And drinking. A lot of drinking.
And the hotels are kind of expensive. And PAX is cheap for what it is, but still, it's, you know, what? Another...
The hotels were the real thing, yeah.
Yeah. And drinking out on the town and all that kind of stuff. So we had this idea of, like, why don't we just, instead of scheduling this around PAX, why don't we just have it anytime when, like, you can control the fare rate and we can host it in different cities. And we'll bypass the PAX. And coincidentally, it's also the Blue Yonder Personal Arrogance Exposition.
Yeah, which Blue Yonder is a podcast we did way back in the day, if you're not familiar with
The very first Bald Move podcast.
And Personal Arrogance is a podcast that used to be on our network, hosted by Eric and Jesse.
Yep.
And we said, okay, let's take the initials and, you know, have this double meaning sort of thing.
Yeah. And it's been, we've done this for, is this the fourth year?
I think it's maybe the third
year was
third
Colorado.
Time,
fourth
second
year was Seattle. Mm-hmm. Third year was San Diego.
Oh, that's right.
And I think this was. And supposedly next year is going to be Cincinnati. We shall see.
We'll see.
We shall. It's always supposed to be Cincinnati. Yeah,
it's always been our turn
until the see. And we're the things. Like we're just two guys. They have like six guys over there. So anyway, we'll see.
Levi's kind of stuck in the middle, but.
Yeah, it's true.
Next year he'll probably be in Seattle.
So what we do at BIPACS is we drink beer and we hang out with our buddies and we play a lot of board games because that's kind of the thing. The the personal arrogance guys kind of turned us on to the modern age of board gamers. We used to play board games. We played a lot of Risk, Castle Risk, Axis and Allies. But we kind of petered out because those games don't have a lot of replay value. Well, they might, but once you play them all throughout your high school years, they don't have a lot of replay value.
I can't even
left.
Tell you how many times I've played Risk.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, between Risk, Castle Risk, and Risk 20-40 AD, I must have played 500 games of Risk. It's a ridiculous amount.
Yeah. So that's fun. Now, most times we play new board games, and there's always kind of like marquee ones, like Arkham Horror. This is massive board game, takes forever to set up. It shines with the more players you have, so it's really fun to trot out when you got eight guys or six guys or whatever. That gets a lot of play. We always like playing like Wing Commander. No, I'm sorry, not Wing Commander. Battlestar Galactica.
Which
is a classic buddy fucker game where you've got like betrayals and all this other stuff. We played Game of Thrones last year, which was a big hit because it's another buddy fucker. This year we wanted to restart this PC later. I think that would really affect our launch if it restarted in the middle of this.
Probably.
This year we decided to do the great granddaddy of all buddy fuckers. This game is famous for ending friendships and straining relationships and leading to divorce. It's called Diplomacy.
Yeah. This is an old game.
This is a very old game.
Yeah.
Like Woodrow Wilson was really into this game or something like that.
Been around for hundreds of years. Well,
maybe not, because it's, I don't think, I don't know, not hundreds, because it's set,
of course,
it's
been around for thousands of years, honestly.
It essentially simulates the conditions of World War One. So you have all of Europe and North Africa and the Middle East on a board, and you have the eight great powers of the day. I'll probably not be able to name all of them, but
Turkish Empire, Russia, Italy, France, Austria-Hungary, Germany, Great Britain. Well, it's not Great Britain in that, is it?
Yeah. UK, whatever.
Is it Great Britain? It must be Great Britain.
The United Kingdom.
Yeah. Is that it?
I think so.
Is that all of them?
There's eight.
The Spanish aren't considered a great power. They're just a neutral country to be dominated.
Yeah. There's a lot of neutral countries.
an uncontrolled country.
So everything else is neutral. And you've got only two units. You've got a fleet unit, a naval unit, and it can occupy any coastal country or any sea zone, and you have the army unit. And the thing is that the way it's set up, you have to get support to get anywhere. Like, you can't, there's no dice roll. So if you have one army go against one army, the result is nothing happens. But if you can get a fleet to support that one army and another a contiguous bordering army, then you've got a 3-to-1, and then you can actually steamroll them. And that's where the really interesting mechanic is: in between every round of play, there's a 15-minute diplomacy session.
Yeah, where you mingle with the rest of the countries.
In secret, in public, wherever. It's 15 minutes.
And you lie and deceive and tell the truth and form alliances and break alliances and everything you think you would do with some diplomacy.
So now, I've told my girlfriend how all this happened because there's an incident.
Well, the first incident. Let's talk about the first incident, which was the very first.
But first, I wanted to lay out, because you might be asking yourself, how does the lie mechanic really work? Because it seems like when three guys go off into the bedroom, into dark bedroom for 10 minutes,
you know what's happening.
Shenanigans are happening.
Of course.
And you're like, well, I'm not going to trust you. But that seems logical. But the beginning, no one knows what anyone's going to do, so you meet with everyone.
Exactly.
And you keep meeting with everyone, even when you decided to stab them in the back, because otherwise it would telegraph the fact. So you're all having like, are we still solid? You're still, it's like, still makes sense that we're going to, you know, butt fuck France, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody says, yeah, we're on the same
page. We're running
page,
train
totally.
On France, no problem.
Even if you're not.
Even if you're not.
So that's the thing.
Even like, if you've made a back deal with France, and now you're going to be the one ran train on.
Yeah, so I was meeting with you, and I was meeting with Levi and Eric at the same time.
So I want to...
Half of those people I was working against,
we've
right?
not... This is the first conversation we've had after action, because
it's
the game...
True, yeah.
Exploded.
Yeah, it got.
And
hot,
I was one of the major combatants of this war.
I was too. Yeah.
So this is the first time that we've actually talked about this. Now, I proposed, because I knew there's a couple axes that I thought I could count on, that Eric and Jesse would get into it. And they would get, because that's like in their group, they were the alpha players and they always, you know, single each other out for single combat. I've never seen it not be true. And we've exploited that because a lot of times the boys from Indiana win because the two heavyweights in Seattle slug it out and we pick over to Bones. Mm-hmm. So I assumed that was going to happen. We also had a new guy from Canada.
Two new guys. Well, one from Canada, one from Northern Wisconsin or something.
It's Canadian. Yeah. The two Canadians.
It's effectively Canada.
We had two Canadians and I got with them and I'm like, look, here's the deal. We got these four guys from Seattle. We're four non-Seattleites. We should form a non-Washington alliance. Because mm-hmm. come what may, if we all stick together, then, you know, Eric and Jesse will divide each other like a pack of jackals. Levi and Jordy will get on one side or the other of that. And if we just kind of bide our time and make assurances, we can swoop in at the end. And I, for my part, I did never intended to betray that. But what caused the downfall was the Canadians went squishy on us. They stopped. They started doing things that were not quite kosher right away. And then when I'd ask them about it, they would like, well, you know, you're France, right?
No, I was Italy.
Italy.
And
you're the boot.
I made a crucial error not understanding how the mechanics worked because this is the first time I played it.
That's another big
problem. And how impossible it is to take something back when someone has support.
Yes.
I made a crucial error of abandoning Venice right away, trying to move in to kind of confuse the situation, and it ended up just costing me my entire game.
Yeah.
There was nothing I could do to retake my country.
You were playing a desperate defensive war that you really couldn't win. It was just a matter of time. Now,
the only thing I had going for me was I had a gun to Eric's head saying, we're gonna destroy each other here if we don't work it together.
He's
a
the Austrian-Hungarian.
He's Empire. My next door neighbor. Yeah.
Yep.
And he was working with one of my other next door neighbors, France, to
those damn
put
French.
The squeeze on me.
Yeah. And the other cool thing about this is, so at the end of the diplomacy session, you write orders, and these are terse orders to your
really
troops
cool. Yeah.
That you have to say like, army in Hungary, move to Syria or whatever, or fleet in the North Atlantic, move to coastal Spain. Or you can also support.
Fleet in here, support this army from here to there or something.
And
or convoy.
It's very easy to get the countries wrong. And we had a very ruthless, you know, it's like if you wrote your orders wrong and they don't work, then too bad.
Did that ever come into play?
I don't think it ever did.
I don't think so. But that was the idea from the start.
So, yeah.
I like it. It really gives it a feel of war, right? Like once you write those orders, you can't take them back.
Yeah.
You've dispatched the messenger, you've sent those communications, and there's nothing you can do at that point.
Yeah. So right around turn three, you're already embroiled in this thing that looked like it's kind of hopeless. But I was holding out hope that as Austria-Hungary, or as Turkey put pressure on Austria-Hungary, and I started, because I was going to move into Eric as well, and that would take the pressure off you, and you would be able to expand into northern Africa.
Yeah.
But I started getting the sense that Turkey wasn't solid with us.
Yeah, me too.
And then by turn three, you were, like, down to two units and, like, on death's door.
Yeah.
So I started, you know, I'd sealed off Austria-Hungary, and we'd both kind of left each other's borders unprotected. And so I went after France. Mm-hmm. And I also made an alliance, kind of a soft alliance with England. And my rule was that I would give someone an order to fulfill, but then I'd also plan for a way for that order to succeed with or without their support. And that's a good way to smoke out people who are trying to fuck you. And I did that, and I felt like England was solid. So we started taking over Russia and France. And I don't hear – so Jesse somehow in this miracle diplomacy thing talked Eric out of attacking you into attacking me. And also France rallied too. So now I had a sudden immediate war on three fronts.
Yeah, so that move was pretty brilliant.
For him. Why did Eric go along with it? What was he – because I wasn't privy
brilliant.
To these
It
meetings.
Was brilliant for the Turks is what it was. They ended up gaining the most from that because
– I feel like the Canadians would have won. They were quietly amassing.
I think so. Like, they had never really gotten into it with anybody.
But
the first battle they had was on the last turn with me.
But they kept getting stars, which are – so you have to take over neutral territories to get stars to increase your production capacity.
Yeah.
Stars are essentially capitals of
– Yeah, they're
– And ports.
You know, supply depots or places you can build on.
Yeah.
And so Jesse – like, me and Eric were you know, nose to nose here, just slugging each other. Uh-huh. And Jesse comes in and says, okay, look, so Jim's not going to stop until he gets Venice back.
Right.
Eric doesn't want to commit the number of units. He can't afford to commit the number of units to keeping Venice that he has been. Mm-hmm. So let's both pull back, give Jim Venice, you pull back and we'll push into Aaron's territory.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it was also with the Turks kind of holding them off one turn from coming toward me.
Yeah.
And from coming toward Eric. So it stalled them a turn. But like everybody in that scenario had something to gain by continuing the fight except for me and Eric. And somehow Jesse arranged this brilliant truce at the opportune moment. But it didn't seem to serve
Eric very well. Eric was being used. Yeah.
But the alternative was for me and him to continue to butt heads and for both of us to lose. But so he had nothing to really gain by continuing the fight there.
I don't know. It felt like it was turning into king making. It's fine because like I was I was Germany and I was in a three-way war between France and
Austria-Hungary
and Russia. And the other thing is, these guys are incredibly insufferable to play with. Like, they're the worst sort of trash-talking sons of bitches.
Well, so are we. Like, everybody kind of is like that.
I don't know.
Geordie's the only one who's not. And the Canadians, obviously.
We don't have nearly as many stories of people blowing out in games in our gaming circle as they do. I would think that's fair to say.
I guess. I guess like I can I think of like
the infamous laugh man, fuck you. you getting pissed at your dad.
Telling my dad I'm never playing this game with him again.
Sure. Right. Who is another infamous arch trash talker?
He's the worst. Yeah. I mean, Jesse and Eric are nothing compared to my dad.
So and the only one who really knew how to play this game is Jesse. So
yeah.
I actually came up with, I thought, a pretty smart way for me in the UK to strike back at Russia the next turn. And because my thought is,
it was to route around the top of
if
them,
we
right?
can knock out Russia, then that's obviously who's instigating that. And yeah. then that's if we can make that opposition go away, mm-hmm. then it doesn't matter if they take half of Germany. We own all of Russia. We can seal off our border and then just push everybody out.
And Geordie made on that last turn, Geordie brilliant made a brilliant play. Move.
I actually thought he fucked up, but he actually executed it more because we didn't have. We were doing diplomacy with other people. The last 5 minutes, we had a basic strategy, but we hadn't actually planned out the move.
Ah, okay. That's always scary.
So he freelanced that and did an in route around Scandinavia and into the heart of Russia.
Yeah, forcing Jesse to pull back some of his troops toward his inland stuff and take some pressure off you. And keeping all of his territories in the process,
right?
Which was the most surprising thing.
So there's... So the next round, I'm, you know, it's like, this is a big reversal, but whatever. But it hinged on an obscure, all this combat takes place simultaneously. Okay, that's one of the principles you have to understand. But the way it affected this battle in Germany and Austria-Hungary, I wasn't immediately obvious. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't trying to be obtuse. I just wanted to understand it because you got to make plans for these battles and these intricate support things. And if you don't understand it, then why am I even playing?
Sure.
So, and also I got fucked over by not interpreting how coasts work. If you got Spain, Spain borders three C zones, but I guess the coast is like a universal warp around. Like you can just fucking go from the, unless it actually says north coast, south coast, you actually can just warp around the coast in a single turn. Because each turn is like 6 months long, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I got two kind of rule things that I got bent up on, and then I was kind of clarifying the position. And I was almost to the point like, well, I don't understand this, but I'll research on the internet. And fucking Jesse would not let up. And he started getting personal with insulting my, I'm stupid for not being able to understand what he's saying.
Sure, something about your idiotic brain.
And I was drunk, and I'm like, you know what?
That's the thing, yeah.
I said, you know what? Fuck this. I'm done. If this is the way this first time we fucking play this game is going to go, then fuck all you guys. I stormed from the table.
Yep.
And sat down and started playing Destiny.
It was pretty great.
So then it's like...
pretty epic. I was just sitting there drunk, watching this whole thing go down, but kind of not really paying attention. Just like, okay.
Yeah.
The shit's going off the rails here, but I don't care. I got fucked from the beginning. So.
Was I the asshole in the situation? Because the next morning I spent a lot of time, I was the first one up, and I'm thinking, was I the asshole? Or was Jesse the asshole?
No, what really pushed over the top was the idiotic brain comment. That was the thing.
Well, it was 5 minutes of...
And it was multiple, it was Jesse instigated that. You reacted appropriately, I think, to being called an idiot multiple times.
But there was a point, like, so afterwards, we kind of settled down, because I thought, I actually didn't think you guys would stop playing. I thought that...
How would we play, though, with
Jordy another... would just take over Russia.
Oh, that gives him so much power.
Or you'd have the two Canadians split from Turkey and give one of them Russia. There's a ways to proceed.
Germany, yeah.
But then it's like... So it's like, I was like, okay, I even said, as angry as I was, like, look, we're still friends, but you're acting like an asshole, and there's I can't take it, so I'm out of here. I tried to be concealed, even though I was fucking white-hot angry, I was still trying to be like, I'm pissed, but we're still buddies, whatever. He wouldn't stop. Like, he started, like, acting like I was a sensitive baby, and the rest of the evening, he was piling this shit on with Rocket League. So finally, I just looked at him, and I was like, you know what, Jesse? Fuck you. And I, in that moment, was ready to, like, that's it. I guess we're not going to be friends anymore. I guess we're
Diplomacy lives up to its reputation.
Diplomacy has destroyed the friendship. Now, I think he knew he pushed me just a little too far when I said, just like, fuck you, Jesse.
I think that's what they like to do. I've liked to do in my past occasionally, too.
Push a so they're about ready to fight you, like, physically. Because that was the thing. It's like, I was either going to not be friends with him or fight him. Those two things are going to happen.
Both of those are bad outcomes.
Yeah. So that was BiPax.
That was pretty awesome.
That was a day well spent.
The rest of
playing
it,
the first 5 years of 1900.
I did my own share of assholery during BiPax.
What did you do?
I won the Rocket League tournament.
Well, that's just because you're better than everyone.
I've played like 200 hours of this game, and no one else has played more than probably 20.
Except
for me, I was better,
and I was the second. But you were still about twice as
good as me. Yeah, and you
came
in second. It came down to me and you.
Like, you're twice as good as me. I'm twice as good as their best guys, and then they were twice as good as the guys. So
then Jesse hadn't played at all
ever.
This is the first time he's ever played this game.
He's a shit show of a tournament.
And somehow he got matched up against me. I don't know how that works with brackets and stuff, but. I wiped the floor with him,
sure.
And I didn't let up. I scored 13 to nothing, and I just kept going.
My good guy gamer kicks in at like 7-0, and so, I start just fucking around. But
here's the problem.
You just kept on. Like, did it get to 15-0?
13-0. Here's the problem. So,
in a 5-minute Rocket League game.
Do I play patty cake with him for this match? Like, am I going to let him feel like he's doing better than he's doing, or am I just going to play how I would play anybody else?
Here's the problem and why I think it started to get to him.
Okay.
Every time you score a goal, it stops the clock. So now you got five. So it's
you're
like
extending the match. You're extending
game,
the torture.
Even though he's getting destroyed, it's one thing if it's going back and forth, but every time you score a goal, it stops the clock for like 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. So now instead of like being over in a minute, that last minute
it's
took
like the 2-minute warning takes 25 minutes to play.
Yes, and that's why I think everybody was kind of like, Jesus, man, just play defense.
What am I going to do? I'm playing the game. It's not my
fault.
What
am I to do?
What am I to do, Walter?
What am I to do, Walter? Sure.
Right,
sure.
So I had a moment of assholery too, but...
I think everyone had one.
I felt like...
Because, you know, usually I've seen every BiPax, someone has gotten really angry at somebody else. Like, one year it was Eric...
I think Levi got pretty mad at me
over
one year
Battlestar
for calling him a Cylon the entire game and nobody believed
him. Levi got real pissed one year. Mm-hmm. Ian got super mad at me at that one PAX. Like,
that almost ended a friendship too.
Yeah, like we were staying in the same hotel room and he was like in the dark across.
Like, we're all trying to go to sleep.
Across the bed. He was still trying to talk shit about it. I'm like, Ian, just shut the fuck up. It's 3:00 in the morning. I'm done talking with you about this goddamn game of Battlestar.
Yep.
And he did. So, yeah. I guess we're all still friends, though.
We are. And I think... I don't know. Friends always have moments like that, right?
I think so.
It's just how it goes. You get two personalities that...
I've never pushed a person that hard over a game, though. That's one thing. Like, I've definitely pushed people hard, but for things I genuinely believe in. But just to go at someone for sport, I don't... And I think that's why I guess I was trying... Like, for two turns, that was going up ever since he was on the warpath. He started, and so I was kind of like going along with it, but there's only so much I can take.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being called a dum-dum is not one of those things I can
dumb,
take.
Dumb.
What else?
We got a bunch of questions. Do we want to start?
We? All right.
Yeah, look at that. Look at that. It's piling up, man.
Jesus. Did he not listen to our last Lunch with Jim and Aaron. So Travis says, have you guys done one of those host a murder mystery things?
You mean who shit the sink?
Yeah. I've been thinking about doing one for a while, but I'm concerned that could end up being a train wreck. Sounds potentially really fun, though. You need to play Cachet Lavier. Who shit the sink? You should listen to the last Lunch with Jim and Aaron for the rules of that.
Yes. That's outstanding.
You could do... So, I think a self-hosted murder mystery could end up with people feeling they're getting picked on.
Really? Why?
Well, because someone's
the villain. I thought it was more cooperative.
Yeah, well, but someone's the bad guy.
But that bad guy has to be prepared for that, right? Like...
But I don't think they are. That's like, the whole murder
if you're a
mystery.
Cylon playing Battlestar Galactica, you've got to expect to get ganged up on.
Yeah, and you also have to, also as a human, you have to expect this person to fuck you over and lie.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's the thing. Like, I didn't get mad that I got betrayed diplomatically. I got mad that I got exploited on my lack of knowledge of rules and then my... And it's and not like I like if I was doing this for a half hour, I could see them getting frustrated. But it was just essentially
was like
a couple minutes of like... Okay, explain to me again how this mechanic works. I still think I actually have a little point to that, but I haven't researched anything about diplomacy.
Oh, boy.
But no, you should check out last week's Lunch Jim and Aaron for a low-budget murder mystery that will just blow the lid off your family, honestly.
More fun, I think.
More fun.
Than a murder mystery.
Let's see. Michael T. says, not a question so much as a comment. Aaron, I'm fully expecting your beard game. Kind of like to short a beard on you. Hmm. Yeah, I'd never grown an old-time Grizzly Adams beard. Like, once it gets to about much longer, it starts to fork. And I'm like, oh, fuck, that's out. But I found that if I put enough product in it and train it, and, like, I was spending 30 minutes a day on that long beard. Yeah, I know. And
right.
I'm like, okay, right. Fuck this, I'm out. So, and my girlfriend's kind of egging me on because she's like, yeah, I just want to see like how long it'll get. And
you, when we were going through the airport the other day, you pulled out your driver's license as your ID, and I saw the picture, and I was like, oh, your beard was that fucking big?
I came up to that lady with no glasses. I mean, I came up here. Do I have my
make sure you cover your info? But
oh yeah,
but yeah, try good. And show that picture. Because that's...
All right, we're
fucking astounding. Just throw it up at... Oh,
that's not going to have anything on it. Well, it's got... It's... Okay.
It's got your weight on it.
It's It's got so many fucking numbers on it, man. Here we go. This is what I look like in my driver's license, okay?
That's Unabomber levels of beard, man.
And this is what I look like. I came out without my wearing my glasses to the lady and just kind of deadpanned her. Didn't bat an eye.
Nice.
They need to recruit more white terrorists is what they need to do. What were we talking about?
With giant beards.
With giant beards. No, the beard game. Thank you. So at all stages of beard growth, I've had men come up and compliment me.
All stages, huh?
Yeah. And say like, you know, different things about it. And I'm like, well, what do you say? And I've also had like...
Thanks.
Women come up, like, especially when it got as longer, like, come up and, like, stroke it without, like, any permission or asking.
That seems like
one
sexual assault,
one came up to me,
frankly.
Like, in front of my son and said, your beard is sexy as hell, and then, like, kind of got up against me sexually, and I'm like, just my seven-year-old standing right here, lady, what are you doing here?
Yeah, you were assaulted.
I was yeah, I mean...
There's no other word for it.
It was
an unwelcome sexual advance.
So the difference,
sorry,
I guess,
lady.
Between men and women is that I didn't feel at any time physically threatened, because if she started humping me, I could have just grabbed her face and shoved her to the ground. And
front of your child, yeah.
In front of my child, too. If a woman tries to rape you, son, you can grab her face and throw you down. I do feel firmly about that.
Sure.
But thank you for respecting the beard game. Everybody in Seattle is growing beards now.
Yeah.
Every single person.
I'm growing my stubble out.
Yeah.
In an effort to shave it down to that 5 o'clock shadow look.
Yeah.
Because I get like very irritated in my cheeks, neck area when I'm growing it out for a while.
Really?
So I have to grow it out for a while longer. Hmm. And then hopefully I can shave it down without too much irritation.
What are you going to shave it down to?
Just like the 5 o'clock shadow sort of look, just like really short stubble.
Oh, but you're going to let it fill out so it gets to that point.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because
that's the thing, like your hair is only itchy as it grows out. Once it gets to a half inch, then you're fine. But stubble, like, you're going to be perpetually miserable, it seems like.
I think so. I just want to see how it looks.
Okay.
Because apparently it takes like 2 weeks to get that look. Like you have to grow out your beard and then shave it down. You can't just like let your beard grow for 2 days because it doesn't fill in as full. I don't know.
Freddie C said, oh God, I wish you guys filmed this. I guess you're talking about the war. So fun fact, we all took pictures of the board.
We could recreate it.
We could recreate it, and we also kept an order. We kept the log of our orders. So, and because we thought, like, this will be fun to actually do a YouTube, like, an actual alternate world history.
Yeah.
Of, like, what if Germany had banded up with Great Britain because Turkey screwed Germany over?
Sure.
Like, you know, some kind of crazy thing. And, like, I will say that one thing that we did that was very funny is during our Rocket League play, we took turns being the commentators,
and that would be a great series of videos. Just the most
inane, obvious, insulting color commentary you've ever seen, with like all the tropes you've heard on football games, and it was pretty funny. Sure. But now that it ended in like 1905, we weren't that. I mean, that was only what 10 turns into it.
Yeah, it was pretty short.
Yeah,
but it took a long time to play.
No, it
took like half the day.
I mean, each turn takes essentially a half hour to resolve. Mm-hmm. So that was a good 6 hours anyway.
Yeah.
We probably had another 6 hours before you would have any kind of achievable victory. But I do think another thing is I want to play. I do still want to play diplomacy play by email style.
I think that'd be
like
cool.
A turn a week.
We were talking about doing a real time diplomacy game.
Like, it's 6 months between orders?
6 months. So you have 6 months to collaborate. Well, then I suggested
that if you want to build a fleet, you actually have to buy a model ship and assemble it and have photographic evidence before we'll allow you to build it. And you got 6 months to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you got a 6 month, you want to build two fleets and three armies, well, then you're going to get a lot of tank kits from Rydell, and you're going to get a lot of battleship kits and put them all together.
Yeah.
And also, that would, like, because you can also disband. But take that if you have to smash a model and then rebuild it, that really puts a sting in.
Especially if you've got like 12 supply points or whatever,
because that's
you got to build like six different models,
right? So
it's 18, I think.
Was it 18? So you could have 15, 16, and think how long it's going to take you to write the fucking orders.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's the thing. Jeez.
Like, yeah, we need to play more play by email games.
Yeah, and I think that'd be a good one.
Guys.
Because the board is static state. There's no rolling. You don't have to trust anybody. It's all... And then you submit the orders through email, and once they're submitted, that's it. You can't change them.
It's like VGA Planets. Can you resubmit orders? Can you say, here's my modified orders?
Once you get VGA in order, it's done. It's done. I don't think so. I don't think so at all.
All right, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, we need to get that together. But yeah, I don't know. I think it would be uncomfortable for people to watch people have fights. Maybe not. I liked American Chopper back in the day, and that was just nothing but a family fighting and making motorcycles by accident.
Motorcycles by accident?
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
Oh, we got in a fight in this motorcycle.
Holy shit.
Yeah, well, they're stacking up, man. Like
this
I said.
Is okay. I don't know what this is reference to. At Anthony, when you pass go, you collect 5 squirrels.
Nope.
Oh, okay. So this was in response. Okay, so let's dismiss that, because this is a joke in response to Anthony B's. You said before on Fear the Walking Dead podcast how much you hate Monopoly. Would a Walking Dead themed Monopoly game ever interest you? Pasco collects. Okay,
gotcha.
Nah, I mean, no.
It's the same game.
The core game of Monopoly suffers from a lot of American style games, which is, they eliminate players and there's nothing left for them to do. I've fallen in love with Euro style games where everyone has a useful role to play until the game is in, and then you're scored in some kind of secret win condition.
Mm-hmm.
And that keeps, it's like, because even if you're out of the game, you don't necessarily know you're out of the game, and you can swing some stuff at the end, and also you're still at least playing and part of the, you can, you know, still screw people over or play your part. I don't know. That's my thing. But no, I don't like Monopoly.
Yeah, it's not a great game.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
We've got lots of ongoing coverage this week, from book versus show comparisons for Hot D to the latest very special episode of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? But there are a couple of main events this week you need to know about.
Firstly, we've got a brand new commission podcast out this Tuesday covering The Raid 2, sometimes subtitled Retaliation. If you're a fan of martial arts films, this is one you don't want to miss. Iko Uwais is a rising star in the action movie world, and it's easy to see why. Join us on Tuesday as we dive into the bigger, badder sequel to The Raid, try and figure out which is better.
Then on Thursday, we're covering the season finale of Hulu's excellent period drama, Shogun. We've been waiting all season to see what Toranaga Sama's plan is, or if he even has one. It all comes down to this, and we couldn't be more excited. Join us on Thursday for what's sure to be an epic Shogun season finale podcast, and to find out if we plan to cover any related materials.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
So there's also a lot of opinions on my beard. Michael T said the old beard is epic, but badass. I liked it. The reason I cut it is because I eat, like, especially when I'm eating on the couch, I kind of eat like this because I don't want to get shit on me. And this is right at the length where it started hanging in my plate. That's when I'm like, fuck no, no, no. I'm painting the world with a brush that's made out of my beard and sauce.
Painting your shirt with it.
Painting my shirt with it. Okay, Michael T continues. Aaron, you really need to convince Jim to grow a beard. Maybe a double dog dare, then he can't back out. Maybe a bet on something.
If what do you call this?
If you lose a shave. Well, first of all,
I can't
so
grow a
beard. So that's about a week of growth, yeah?
Yeah, I can't grow a beard. It's terrible. It's a folly to even try. Like, this just comes in too thin.
I think if you let it, you'd have to go through a month or two of looking really shabby. I mean,
I've done a goatee and that works, but the beard.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can beard in like I can go from zero to beard in like a week.
Yeah.
Like recognizable dark, you know, more than just like a guy been on vacation kind of thing. So it's like, if you don't have but Levi can't really beard.
He had a pretty good beard,
but that's because he's just let it go, man. Like, I think he's gone. He
went full frozen on his beard.
Yeah. He just stopped shaving for all summer. And now he's got something he can like shape. And Eric's the same way. Jesse's got a respectable beard.
Yeah.
And poor Jordy.
He's grown beard.
Jordy's
many
hopeless.
Times. Yeah. Jordy's not going to grow.
I don't think he has facial hair.
No, I'm the Jordy of the Midwest Coast.
Except for, like I said, you've got a decent, you got a respectable growth right now. I feel like that's something.
I do?
Yeah, no.
It just looks like something. My face is dirty on camera, but.
You got the hobo beard. All right.
Oh, speaking of hobo beards, when we were in BIPAX, man, fucking hobos pissing on everything.
Huh, what's this? Fernando, it sounds interesting. Guys, one of the things I love about your podcast is when a topic makes you go into your religious, political, and social views. That being said, what are your thoughts on 2007 Zeitgeist? It's free on YouTube, and it blew me away. How long is it? Okay, so...
Zeitgeist, I don't know. Seen it? Yeah. They've done so many Zeitgeist films now.
What is that?
It's the 9-11... Well, okay, so it's Illuminati, 9-11, and something else that they go off on the conspiracy stuff there.
I would probably think it's a bunch of shit.
It's like that, you know, the income tax isn't legal sort of thing.
Oh.
Or whatever it is. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would think it's horse shit. I thought it was mostly horse shit. Sorry, Fernando.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I got in high school one of my buddies whose dad happened to be part of the militia movement before Timothy McVeigh kind of screwed that up for all of them. by bombing a federal building. My buddy's dad had this big billboard in his front yard that said, like, commander of the 51st Battalion of Indiana militiamen, and he slept with gas masks by the side of his bed because he wanted the ATF guys to know which house to hit. Like, he's hiding in plain sight, and he had guns everywhere. And my buddy was putting forth a lot of these ideas, like income tax is unconstitutional, and we're not actually United States citizens. We're actually federal citizens of mm-hmm. the Republic of the United States, and like all these loopholes. I'm not saying there's nothing to some of these arguments, but these arguments have been advanced for at least 100 years, and that's settled law now. So you can believe whatever you want to believe, but the actual law is not this crazy loophole that you have.
You will go to jail if you don't pay your taxes.
Yeah, like you, just because you managed to not get a Social Security card and you check this box in your driver's license and mm-hmm. you're following the maritime law in the United States does not mean they will not throw you in prison for paying your income tax.
Yeah.
It's a matter of, so yeah, I don't know. And Illuminati, like one of my best gal pals is huge into this Illuminati stuff, and I just can't talk to her about it.
Yeah, because so the thing I would say about that is you're getting a very constructed story, right? Like, yes, the case that they present might be strong on the surface, sure. but if you don't know enough about the background of these things, and I certainly don't, but, you know, you do a little reading on the other side of things, and you'll also see the same kind of well-told, constructed story.
Right.
Which one do you go with? Which one is actually true? It's hard to tell sometimes, but...
Well, plus it's like, I feel like, because I've taken some pot shots on conspiracy theorists, and I gotten a lot of hate mail about it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them were like, you're just afraid to open your eyes to see the true truth of the world. And I'm like, I think the true truth of the world is harder to figure out than a True Detective season one plot. Like, that's essentially like, okay, you've uncovered the Bilderbergs and the... the
Tower Seven and
all this stuff, but it's like it's a lot harder to actually understand global economics and politics and foreign policy and how much stuff is just luck and incompetence and cultural misunderstandings. Like, that's the real world is a lot more complex than I think conspiracy theorists believe it to be. But also, they think that their version of reality is more complex than the real world. And sure, I just completely disagree. I completely disagree.
I will say that when I saw this back in 2007 or whenever it came out, I was also similarly impressed by it.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know any better. And I probably still don't. I'm just a lot more incredulous now about these sorts of things.
Sure.
Even though I don't do a lot of research into them, so I couldn't tell you exactly why, but there's something about all of this stuff that just smacks me as this kind of pseudo intellectual argument about these things.
Which is like, so when I first saw JFK, I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
How is, Oliver Stone, why is nobody not investigating in jail? Like, if this is true, like this is crazy. So then I read Jim Garrison's On the Trail of the Assassin, and then I read some critical pieces, and then I read like some excerpts from the Warren Report. And you start, like, every single thing that comes up in that movie has not just a rational explanation, but a well-sourced, no, this is exactly what would happen, and here's, like, you know, you didn't understand the way the car was constructed, so his, like, you know, bullet deflection theory is not even true. And the thing about that is, like, every single thing you can say, it's like, okay, the pristine bullet. Actually, the bullet's not pristine, and here it is. Here's a photograph. It's fucked up.
Huh.
And here's a photograph of other bullets that have gone through a body in similar condition. Then it's, well, why was this doctor – why did this doctor examine Jack Kinney instead of this doctor? Well, it's because on this particular day's rotation that this has happened. Well, if that's the case, then why was the fourth floor – I mean, it's like there is no end to the arguments. At no point will
it's working the argument from the premise, which is the wrong way to do it.
And at no point will they say, you're right, the preponderance of evidence is for the official story.
Yeah.
They will just continue to say, or,
NASA just released about 1,000 photographs from the Apollo missions.
That was like they're being like, you know, here's our long dick, we're flopping on the table.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, these were classified before.
Sure.
But now we're just throwing it all out there on Flickr or whatever. And the conspiracy theorists about the moon aren't going to, the moon landing aren't going to buy that.
Conspiracy theorists on a whole other plat. Like, but my point is that, and JFK conspiracy and Illuminati conspiracy. There's, I think you can be an otherwise intelligent person and believe those because you're ignorant. But moon landing things are just, no, we didn't go to the moon and there's no fucking way I'm going to believe it.
I mean, we have thousands of photos that, sure, that say we did. And unless you think they're all faked.
And the Russians were content to let us, you know, have this fiction and not blow us up to embarrass us.
Yeah, it's silly.
Well,
considering
you
can look through
Illuminati
a telescope and see the location of the landing site.
Yeah.
How about that, motherfucker?
Yeah. Like, or you can bounce a laser off the station that we put
the
up
mirror,
there.
Yeah.
Although the more sophisticated, so you got, like, you know, creationists, you got young earth creationists.
Oh, God.
That believe the world is like 5,000 years young and then right. And you got the old earth creationists are like, okay, sure. Earth's 4.5
like
billion
that,
years,
yeah.
But, you know.
He created the light in transit, all these things, sure.
Well, that's, but anyway, like, I feel like that the more sophisticated lunar conspiracy theorists say, sure, we did robotic probes that placed reflectors and, you know, all that equipment on the moon, but we never walked on it. Because radiation belts.
All right. Whatever,
anyway,
man.
Anyway.
Whatever.
Yeah. Well,
so, but, yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm probably not going to watch the movie because if it's that kind of thing,
it would infuriate you, I'm sure.
It's, yeah. Yeah. I'd rather watch a documentary. Let's see. How was Seattle? Rewind it, Michael. No, it was great. So we've gone to Seattle like for the last 8 years. Going back to 2007 was the first year we went for PAX. And then
yeah.
We met Jesse and Levi in PAX East in 2008. And we came back to PAX Prime 2008. And we've gone there. Service. First time we've ever been where Seattle rained.
Because we usually go in the summer.
We go in like Labor Day weekend, mm-hmm. And it's always been gorgeous. Well, Seattle showed its ass to us. It rained and drizzled almost every day we were there, yeah. And then one day it just monsooned.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse's house is cool.
His view is amazing.
It butts up against one of the many harbors bays yeah. of the Puget Sound, and he had like there's boat docks. He's got seals.
Just chilling all
seals
day.
All over the boat docks, swimming and being cute and doing flips and breach. What do they call that when they
doing
jump up
seal
in the air
shit.
And yeah, like whales do.
I don't know.
Breaching, I think it is.
I think so.
It's yeah, and making all kinds of racket. It's amazing. We got to see his brewery, which is not quite ready for the public. He's got like all the equipment installed and like it's all painted and the cool rooms built and the bars built and he's got like all the. But, like, what was he...
A little more building to do with the rail kind of...
Like, the toilet, the public toilets just were installed the day before.
There's a lot of debris from construction in there still that he's got to move out.
Yep. I think he was hoping for a...
Needs to do some logoing, some branding.
I think he was hoping for a Halloween start. I'm thinking Thanksgiving, though.
Halloween would be nice as far
Halloween
as...
Halloween would be nice thematically, but yeah. I'm just saying from the quantity of work left to do, it's feeling more like a Thanksgiving.
Seemed like a lot of work.
But I was... Because I was... We were really hoping that it would be open enough that we could do all of our game playing there and drink free beer, but didn't quite happen. I'm trying to think of anything else we're missing out on. Illegal weed?
Yeah, there was legal weed there.
I was really impressed by the stores and like the variety and how like nicely everything's packaged and it's got like you can find out exactly how much THC is in it and what type of cannabinoids if you're looking for a particular high.
Sure. It's like alcohol.
Yeah, it's exactly like alcohol.
Eric had this pretty cool vaporizer.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know. It looked he said it was expensive. I don't know how expensive, but
it
was nice.
$250.
$250.
Jesus, expensive.
It was a nice machined aluminum, and it just had this compartment. You shove it in there, and it
had a
you
switch
know, it doesn't
that's
burn,
actuated
it just,
by sucking on it, so you don't. There's not even a button you have to push.
You just let it heat up and go.
I think anything else we could say about Seattle? It's because it's actually Bremerton. The town we were in is Bremerton, which is like kind of a suburb of Seattle.
Yeah, it's like you either have to drive up around
the sound
or take a ferry across. So it's like an hour trip. To Bremerton.
Which was what we ended up doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then, like I said, we talked a lot about the games we played and the fracases we got into. in the first half of the podcast. Let's see. What's the deal?
What?
No, what's the deal? Wes S says with the deal with the $20 bill behind Aaron. Okay.
Mm.
So we had a fan anonymously mail us $10, and it's the first time it happened. So in very Scrooge McDuck fashion, we taped it on the John Snow frame.
That's
kind of like our first.
If we ever consider taking it out of the frame and spending it,
that's what we said.
That's when we shut down Bald Move.
Bald Move is shut down when we're debating splitting this $20 bill.
Yeah.
As long as it's up there, that's the Bald Move flag. We're still in business.
Yeah.
It's the green spangled banner. Yeah, so that's not much of a story, but that's the way we did. Did we ever talk about the Coin of Doom?
No, we'll save that.
Okay, Coin of Doom.
Coin of Doom. Ask us about the Coin of Doom later.
I just called Michelle Michael. My fault. Sorry about that. Let's see. Let's move. Let's talk about. Do we want to talk about? I don't want to have a debate about conspiracy theories. It's like diplomacy. It's just going to end badly. Freddie C sounds like.
I feel like I want to say one thing about conspiracy theories.
I just said no debates, damn it.
It's...
Fuck this, I'm out.
Turn five and he leaves. I didn't even call him an idiot. So Watergate is an unfortunate glimmer of hope in the conspiracy theory.
Oh, no, conspiracies bucket. Happen. They're real.
I know, it's just... Like, you can't totally dismiss them because of stuff like that, right?
But the larger, more elaborate, the more moving pieces, the more people involved. Because crucially, we know about Watergate.
Yes.
Are there conspiracies we don't know about? I'm positive they are.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. The CIA does some shady shit. The Army has done some shady shit.
And on the other side of this, it's a shame there are so many faulty conspiracy theories out there and people push them so hard because it's a boy who cried wolf scenario, right? Yeah. Like... Maybe I would have believed you that you were onto something with Watergate if you hadn't been talking about the moon landings and all this shit. Well,
sure.
And the timeline on that doesn't work out, but whatever.
Yeah. No, it's like, I feel like it's one of those things where you have to, you know them when you see it. And also, how do they respond to...
criticism of their ideas.
Of their ideas that are actually not just, you're stupid, you're a dumb, but like, this is from a material science perspective, from someone...
Sure.
Like one of the conspiracy theories that was flaming us mentioned, like, everyone's disseminating this false information as part of this, and, you know, this big, I forget exactly, but it's kind of like that you're on the dole or you're on the take, you're part of conspiracy. And I'm like, I'm just a fucking podcaster from Cincinnati. I promise you.
No horse.
There
in this
is
race.
No one important in Washington or otherwise or Dow Ag or whatever that's like, oh, wait, we must suppress the information. Like, this is my own independent investigations.
Yeah, I would be a lot more well off if that were the case.
Yeah, sure.
I wouldn't be asking for Chipotle burritos during lunch. I'd be asking for a lot of money.
That'd be a $1,000 bill, not a 20. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, so, Freddie C just wanted to make, he wanted to slam Jesse real quick, say he's all an right. habitual line stepper.
Line stepper.
Would you say that? He's a provocateur?
In certain scenarios, yeah.
He's a nice guy. I mean, what's
but
funny...
But so am I in certain scenarios.
Is that I'd say that I'm probably the closest to him of any of the Seattle guys. Like, you know, we actually have phone conversations and, like, a relationship outside of the packs and all that stuff. So... I don't know. Maybe that's why he went at me extra hard. He thought he could
felt
get
like
away
he had
with
license.
It.
Yeah.
No, man, I'll bust you in the head. Let's see. Dan G wants to know if any of us have played Metal Gear Solid 5, aka not Destiny.
Mm-hmm. Nope. I've never played. I played part of 1, and then I didn't play 2, 3, 4. I don't know. Whatever the other ones were.
I have played Metal Gear
for
the Nintendo Entertainment System, and I thought it was amazing. It was a really great, like, it blew my mind as a preteen gamer. And I've not played any
of
the others.
I hear that all of the games do that in their time. Yeah. But, you know, I just never... That's a series I didn't pick up right at the beginning. And I feel like if you didn't pick it up at the beginning, you're going to be fucking lost for the rest of it.
Mm.
There's, like, you can't jump in at number 3 and say, all right, I'm a Metal Gear fan now. That's
true, because they jump back and forth in time, and they're about different characters, and
but like they play on all their backstories.
You won't get everything, but each one is kind of like a Star Trek movie. Like, you won't appreciate the richness of the Kirk and Spock relationship, but you can get it enough to understand that, you know, Khan's a bad guy and McCoy's an asshole. And
yeah, I think, you know, you'll understand the game. I just don't think you'll get the bigger context. And
okay. Like I said, I think
it's a fool's errand.
I've only played the original. I'm trying to think what's the next. So we're both excited about Star Wars Battlefront,
which is essentially Battlefield. I don't know. So I watched Giant Bomb's quick look of it.
Are you soured on the Luke and Vader shenanigans? Because that looks kind of annoying.
No, I just don't think it's going to have very... I don't think it's going to have long enough legs for me.
Hmm.
I like the leggy games.
Like a Destiny, for example?
Something with a lot of replayability.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would call Destiny that.
Yeah, one would say. I don't know.
Something like... I don't know. Rocket League, for example, is one I've been playing constantly. That's a lot of fun. But
it has a lot
of feel like Battlefront just isn't going to quite do it for me, though I might buy it anyway. I don't know. Because I was thinking about getting PS4.
I'm looking forward to the new Tomb Raider. Looking forward to watching Cecily play the new Tomb Raider. I'm looking forward to playing Batman, because I actually own that, but I haven't played it because of Destiny. That's it. I'm not... I was hoping the next Uncharted will also be a day one download and purchase for me. I also got someone on the forums turned me on that there was a $20 Groupon for The Last of Us Remastered. So I'm thinking about replaying that too, because that's not a very long game either. And also I'd never played the DLC for it, the one that you play as the little girl and her protector. That you, did you ever play I Last
didn't.
Of Us?
Yeah, I played the game. I didn't play that DLC though.
All right. Also, thank you for the compliment on the, I think that was the Breaking Bad final episode.
What was?
He also, he used his question to also comment on our final coverage of Breaking Bad.
I didn't see that.
Let's see. Wes, what is this one? I don't get it. I don't get my own interface here. Wes says, quick leftovers question. Any thoughts on the theory that Kevin tied his leg to a cinder block to save himself from being pulled away at the water leaked into the cracks?
It's an awfully quick response.
Yeah.
Like, why does he have the cinder block on him?
Yeah.
Why does he have the rope on him?
Yeah.
I don't think, no.
Yeah.
I think if you're
getting swallowed up by the earth swallowing up a lake, then that's probably beyond your kin to be able to do real quick, but...
Even if you have the tools on hand, which I don't know why he would.
Yes, agreed. That's our quick thought on that. Let's see. All right. I think that's it. That's about all of the stuff we got for this week.
All right.
I had a bunch of other stuff that I want to talk about. There's something that came up in Sepinwall's last podcast ever. I actually just want to talk about Sepinwall's last podcast. Yeah, because him and Dan are calling it quits because Dan's...
He's not going to pick it up with somebody else or continue.
He has no immediate plans to do so, because I think...
Okay.
I guess this happened to them before, and they eventually were able to work out a way to keep doing it. I don't know what the holdup is here, whether Feinberg's got something with the Hollywood Reporter that is like a non-compete or something. It's funny because Bill Simmons is back on the air, and I'm finding more and more about like he was not allowed to be on any non-ESPN radio. Like he did his hero, Mike and the Mad Dog, Mike. And they talked about how, yeah, you're just not allowed to. It's their way of like starving out the competition. I'm like, man, that's so stupid.
Yeah.
There's also something that came out about TV's inferiority complex that I want to talk about because I don't think it exists anymore. Sex robots. There's a really interesting conversation between Mike and Jerry of Penny Arcade about sex robots, and I want to talk to you about that. And and some other observations from Seattle, especially.
I'm ready. Bring on the sex robots.
The homeless problem in Seattle.
Yeah, yeah.
Like something that made me sad. So maybe another Lunch with Gemini run, maybe next week. We got the Q&A podcast. We also. Latest commission podcast, we had to pause those last week, is
Eternal Sunshine
of the Spotless Mind. Looking forward to seeing that and talking about it.
And then, yeah, this weekend we got Walking Dead. We'll be doing a live watch, Cold Rolled live watch. Then The Leftovers and Fargo. Like we're in the middle of really good television season right now. I'm happy as a pig in slop.
Yeah.
Or as a podcaster in good television. Thanks for joining us once again, guys. We will talk to you next week.
Yep.
Bye. See now. You then.